Part 2, Chapter 4. Johnny watched the monster. Thirsty, hungry, and with no hope, he felt adrift in a sea of unknowns. The thing had come into the cage, its footsteps shaking the earth, and had stood there for some time just looking at him, small glints of light in its amber eyes. Then it had begun to putter around. Right now, it was testing the bars, shaking them, apparently verifying that they were firm. Satisfied, it rumbled all around the perimeter, inspecting the dirt. It stood for a while, looking at the sticks it had tried to make Johnny eat. Johnny had pushed them as far away as possible since they had a bad, pungent smell. The monster counted them. Aha! It could count. It spent some time examining the collar and rope, and then it did a very strange thing. It unhooked the rope's far end from the bar top. Johnny held his breath. Maybe he could get to his packs. But the monster now hooked the rope on a nearby bar. He dropped a loop over the bar indifferently and then moved off to the door. It spent some time at the door, rewinding the wires that kept it closed, and did not seem to notice that when it turned its back on the door, one of the wires sprang free. The monster rumbled off toward the compound and disappeared. Lightheaded with thirst and hunger, Johnny felt he was having delusions. He was afraid to hope. But there it was. The rope could be removed, and the gate fastening might be loose enough to open. He made very sure the monster was really gone. Then he acted. With a flip of the rope, he got the far end off the bar. Hastily, he wrapped the length around his body to get it out of his way and tucked the end into his belt. He dove for his packs. With shaking hands, he ripped them open. Some of his hope died. The water bladder had burst, probably from the earlier impact, and there was only dampness there. The pork, wrapped in hide that retained the sun's heat, was very spoiled, and he knew better than to eat it. He looked at the door. He would try. Grabbing a kill club and rope from the pack and checking his belt pouch for flints, Johnny crept to the door. No sign of the monster. The wires of the fastening were awfully big, but age had weakened them. Even so, they tore and bruised his hands as he feverishly sought to open them. Then they were opened. He pushed against the door. In seconds, he was sprinting through the shrubs and gullies to the northwest, keeping low, taking advantage of every bit of cover so as to remain hidden from the compound. He nevertheless went fast. He had to find water. His tongue was swollen, his lips cracked. He had to find food. He felt the light-headed unreality that came with the beginnings of starvation. Then he had to get back to the mountains. He had to stop Chrissy. Johnny went a mile. He examined his back trail. Nothing. He listened. No sound of the insect, no feel of monster feet shaking the earth. He ran 2 miles. He stopped and listened again. Still nothing. Hope flared within him. Ahead, he could see greenery, a patch jutting out of a gully, a sign of water. His breath hoarse and rattling in his chest, he made the edge of the gully. No scene could be more heartwarming. A speck of blue and white. The cheerful burble of a small brook running through the trees. Johnny lunged forward, and a moment later plunged his head into the incalculably precious water. He knew better than to drink too much. He just kept rinsing his mouth. For minutes, he plunged his head and chest in and out of the stream, letting the water soak in. Gone was the taste of that terrible, gooey stick. The freshness and cleanness of the brook were almost as joyful as its wetness. He drank a few cautious swallows, and then sank back, catching his breath. The day looked brighter. The back trail was still quiet. The monster might not discover he was gone for hours. Hope surged again. Far off to the northwest, just a little bit above the curve of the plain, were the mountains. Home. Johnny looked around him. There was an old rickety shack on the other side of the stream bed, the roof sunk down to its foundation. food was his concern now. He took more swallows of water and stood up. He hefted his kill club and walked through the stream toward the ancient shack. While running, he had seen no game. Perhaps it was cleared out in the vicinity of the compound. But he didn't need big game. A rabbit would do. He had better take care of this fast and keep going. Something moved in the shack. He crept forward, silent. In a scurry, several big rats raced out of the shack. Johnny had started his throw and then stopped. Only in the dreariest of a starving winter would one eat rats. But he had no time and he saw no rabbits. He picked up a rock and threw it against the shack. Two more rats streamed out and he threw his kill club straight and true. A moment later, he was holding a dead rat in his hand, a big one. Did he dare light a fire? No, no time for that. Raw rat?
Ugh.
He took a piece of the sharp, clear stuff from his pouch and stepped back to the stream. He cleaned and washed the rat. Hunger or no hunger, it took some doing to bite into the raw rat meat. Almost gagging, he chewed and swallowed. Well, it was food. He ate very slowly so that he wouldn't get any sicker than he felt at eating raw rat. Then he drank some more water. He wrapped a last piece of the rat in a scrap of hide and put it in his pouch. He kicked some sand over the debris he had left. He stood up straight and looked at the distant mountains. He took a deep breath, bracing himself to start again on his run. There was a low whistle in the air, and something fell over him. He rolled. It was a net. He couldn't get free. The more he tried to get out of it, the more tangled up he became. He stared wildly around. Through an opening, he saw the truth. The monster, without haste, was moving forward out of the trees, taking in the slack of the rope to which the net was attached. The thing exhibited no emotion. It moved as though it had all the time in the world. It wrapped Johnny up in the net and tucked the whole bundle under its arm and then began to rumble along back toward the compound.